And joining me now is the Health Minister, Chris Hipkins. Minister, can we start? 17 community cases. Are health officials convinced, in terms of this cluster, that the original family, well, that they are patients zero for this cluster, or do we think that there's potentially infected people before them?
Well, at this point, we don't know where patient zero actually is because we haven't been able to identify how the original family, the first family that alerted us to this cluster, how they contracted COVID-19 in the first place. That's one of the reasons that we've had to take the reasonably, you know, strong measures that we've taken, because until we can run that down, until we can figure out exactly what's happened here, we need to be extra cautious.
So that's called upstream tracing when you're looking at the origins of it. What are you doing in order to find that?
Oh, look, we are doing everything, and we're tackling this from both ends in terms of going back through all of the contacts that the original family have had and then continuing to test and contact trace and test and contact trace all the way through. But we're also approaching it from the other end. We're looking at areas where there may have been risk. So looking at the border, all of the border staff are being tested, and we're well through that cycle. We've set a target of 72 hours from yesterday to test all of the staff working at the border, all of the staff working in managed isolation and quarantine, so that we can just, you know, discount that as a possibility. So we're really looking at it, trying to, you know, gather as much information in as quick a period of time as we can so that we can piece this puzzle together.
So what's the working theory then now? What's the likelihood of where this came from?
Look, there isn't one working theory. Of course, there's, you know, multiple different scenarios about how this may have occurred. And at the moment, I wouldn't rule any of them in or out. So at the moment, we're canvassing every possibility.
So the genome sequencing, as we heard today from the Director General of Health, so far shows no obvious links to managed isolation and quarantine strains. So what are the implications of that then?
Well, look, we're a little bit cautious about that because, as the Director General also said, the genome sequencing from the results that we've seen in our managed isolation and quarantine aren't necessarily at the level that we could be certain about that. Obviously, it does tell us something, but it doesn't give us the complete picture. But it does suggest that, you know, the virus or this particular strand has probably originated in the UK or Australia, but how it ended up in a family in Auckland is something that we're working our way through.
So infected people are moving to the Jetstar, isn't it? The Jetstar quarantine hotel, the community cases. How are you going for capacity there?
There is capacity at the Jet Park Hotel, and of course we've got the ability, if we really end up being stretched, to set up a second quarantine facility. Obviously we've got managed isolation.
Where would that be?
It would most likely be in one of the managed isolation facilities we've got. But at the moment, we've still got plenty of capacity within the Jet Park to take these extra families.
So you wouldn't increase capacity overall. You would co-opt one of the isolation hotels and turn them into a quarantine facility. Is that what you're thinking?
That would, you know, we would cross that bridge if we came to it, but that's obviously a likely scenario.
So what does that mean for people who have booked places to come back from overseas? Are you asking Air New Zealand to put a hold on flights as a consequence of what's going on?
No, like as I said, at the moment, we've got plenty of capacity at Jet Park, and we're well away from the need at this point to expand capacity, but what I'm indicating is if we have to, we can.
So can you give us an update on the situation with the rest home facility? That's in Matamata, isn't it?
That's correct, yes.
And so has anyone tested positive from that facility?
So I don't have any further results there to release, but I can confirm that everybody who needed to be tested has been tested. And of course, we'll have the test results of that in tomorrow's update.
Because the Prime Minister was very clear today, wasn't she? She says this is going to grow before it slows. So what are health officials telling you to expect in terms of spread?
Look, at the moment, that's very difficult. Obviously, you can look at academic models, but actually, you know, the reality is that this is
Have they given you parameters, Minister? Can you just confirm whether they have given you a working model with some upper numbers in relation to this outbreak?
No, but we know that at the moment all of these cases are within a cluster, so they're all interconnected, and that does, t- to some extent draw a bit of a ring around it, which means that, you know, the faster we do the testing and the contact tracing of all of the contacts, then the faster we'll be able to, you know, to really, you know, draw a ring around it. But of course, we're continuing our widespread community testing as well, because if there's anything else out there, we want to pick that up too.
How many people are you up to in terms of contacts that you have to trace?
Several hundred contacts so far. I haven't got the most exact number, but it's about around 400 was the last update that I saw a few hours ago of the number of close contacts that were being contacted. And they're well through that. We've got about 160 people working the phones at the moment to do that. So as the new contacts are added in, they're contacting them reasonably quickly where they can get hold of them. There's only one, I believe, where they've sort of set the finder service onto it. We know they can't get hold of them and they can't find them. So they've got one that they're that they've got someone out trying to find. Other than that, they are managing to get hold of people, and there's obviously a lot of testing going on.
So you were expecting, it was said, the swabs, the surface swabs, back from the cool factory in Mericold this afternoon. Have you got them back, and what do they show?
No, they haven't come back yet.
When are you expecting those results?
We were told to expect them this afternoon. They'll take as long as they take, but we're certainly hoping to have them before the end of the day.
Okay, specifically, what factors are you going to consider? What's the list of things to consider when you decide whether to extend the alert levels either in Auckland or in any other parts of the country?
I think spread of the virus, the number of active cases, the number of new cases that we're seeing each day, the number of overall tests, both in Auckland and also around the rest of the country, and what those test results are showing us, all of those things will come into play.
Okay, is it conceivable that we could have one island in level 3 and another one in level 2?
Look, I don't want to speculate on that. We were clear, though, when we set out the resurgence plan, and we did that well over a month ago now, that we have allowed for regional variation.
So all the way through this, when we had restrictions and lockdowns, the Prime Minister often stated that she was following the infection cycle when Cabinet made these decisions, you know, the 14-day incubation period. Can we expect the same principle to be applied when you're considering further restraints on movement?
Look, I think that's a decision for tomorrow, and we'll certainly have more to say about
that. I understand that you will make the decision tomorrow, but I'm just wanting to work out what the parameters are. So is it likely that if you want to extend the lockdown, you would need to do it in line with what incubation periods are for COVID?
That's going to depend a lot on what information we have by tomorrow. We have done a lot of tests, both today and yesterday, and we expect, you know, those testing numbers are continuing to climb, which is a good sign. And of course, what they are showing us, we will know more about tomorrow morning.
The National Party's been bemoaning a lack of information from you and a briefing for Shane Retty. Have you met with their health spokesperson?
Yes, I met with Shane Retty this afternoon, I think at lunchtime. We had a very good discussion. I think the feedback that he gave me was he was very satisfied with both the work that we were doing and also the quality of the briefing.
What specifically did he want? What was the bit of information that they were missing that they desperately wanted?
Look, I think they wanted to understand what we were doing. They wanted to understand the issues that we were addressing. Basically, I think they wanted a bit of an overview of how the contact tracing was going. I think we gave them some reassurance that, you know, we're doing everything that we need to be doing. They asked a few questions. It was a very useful discussion. I think they were happy when they left. And I've also indicated to them that, you know, they can contact me at any time, and we'll keep regularly in contact with them as we need to.
Did he make any suggestions that you'll be pursuing?
No, there weren't any particular suggestions that came out of that, but, you know, it was a good constructive discussion.
Very quickly, because I know you've got to go, schools, are you expecting them to stay closed next week? Because if you're letting them know late Friday, that doesn't give them much chance to turn things around, does it?
Look, we'll let schools know as soon as we can.
Appreciate your time this evening. That is our Health Minister, Chris Hipkins. National's health spokesperson, Dr. Shane Retty, was invited on the program this evening, but he declined to join us.